So good to be here today. Thank you so much for allowing me to come. I called Brother Isaac a couple of weeks ago, contacted him, and asked him about coming to share what Kathy and I are involved in. And Brother Isaac knows a lot of our history and kind of where we've been, as well as maybe several of you. But I just want to say I'm so thankful for all the prayers that many of you have lifted up for our family over the past few years, and to let you know God hears, and God is good. And God has done amazing things in my family's life and continues. But I'm going to share a little bit with you our testimony and kind of what got us to a meeting called PAL. It's an acronym for Parents of Addicted Loved Ones. It is the only one in the state of Oklahoma that is like this. And Kathy and I are now the facilitators of this meeting in Salisaw at the Salisaw Now Coalition Building. We have it on Tuesday nights at 6:30. The problem is, since we took over as facilitators, no one has showed up. And we know there's a great need in Sequoia County. And maybe even in LaFleur County, or maybe people over in Sebastian County and Fort Smith that would be willing to drive to this meeting because they need help. But why did we ever get to this place? You know, we would like to think that as a pastor's family, we've got it all together. And that we have, everything is just falls in its right place, but that's just not the case. I praise God when I see not just children of pastors, but children raised up in church that they follow that good path. They follow that path of righteousness, and they seek to marry someone who is of like faith, that is a believer, and then to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and to continue on carrying the faith makes me so happy. And it causes me to just praise God. But it also can be very, very sad when you see children who were raised in the faith to leave and to go down a path of great destruction. Now, our daughter, Shay, She is very aware that we attend this meeting and why we attend this meeting and why we do what we do. She is in drug court in Sequoia County, and she is in her fifth phase. The fifth phase is the final phase. She was set to graduate in October. She has been sober for well over a year now, and I'm so thankful for that. I think it was probably in around 2019, Kathy. Shay had just turned 18 years old, and without going into all the gory details of what all had been going on throughout family, and just before Shay turned 18, she left home. She was still 17, but she was going to be turning 18 in just a few days. And I went to a football game with her, and she came up to me and said, "Dad, I'm not coming home with you." I said, "Why?" She said, "I don't want to come home." I said, "Well, you're going to be 18 in just a few days. I can't stop you." She goes, "No, you can't stop me." I said, "I guess just go then." So I had to come home and tell her mom, "Shay's not coming home." And then just to see a roller coaster of watching my daughter go into the streets homeless, her life dwindling away from her, come back home at one time because the people that she was staying with didn't want her anymore, and she needed to go to the doctor, so her mama picked her up to take her to the doctor. And they told Kathy, don't bring her back to our place. So Kathy brought her home. And it was deer season. I was deer hunting down below the bluff. And anyway, Kathy called me and said, I need you up here. And she was being very, hard, defiant. And she was cussing me and cussing her mother and telling us how much she hated us and that she was leaving to just go and do drugs all night. And my fatherly instinct clicked in, even though at that point she was 18. And I just took off walking toward her. And she said, come on, come after me. And I grabbed her. I didn't slam her. I gently took her down to the ground and I got on top of her without my weight being on her. And I said, I will not let you kill yourself. I will not let you do it. And while she was biting me and spitting on me and screaming, she had so much anger. We adopted her from the foster system when she was just a little bitty girl. She had so much anger, so much trauma that started in the womb. She was born high on meth. And so I finally let her up before I'd taken her hands and I grabbed her hands and I just slapped her upside of her head with her own hands about 7 or 8 times. And I said, you need to come to your senses and quit doing this. You know better than this. Long story short, that night I was incarcerated in Crawford County and in jail while pastoring at First Missionary Baptist Church in Salisaw because she pressed charges on me. And Brother Charles House had a bail bondsman there for me to bail me out before they really got me completely booked in. And thankfully, the young man that was booking me in, he told me, he said, hey, you don't belong here. I said, I couldn't agree more. I said, I could not agree more. He said, I'm not putting you in general population. I'm going to put you in a cell by yourself. So thankfully, I only had to be in that cell for about an hour until I was bonded out, charged with third-degree assault and battery. Going to lose my voting rights and my gun rights, but thankfully, I got it down to a misdemeanor that's still on my record. So I went to church, and that was on Saturday. I went to church on Sunday, and I preached, but at the end I said, this is what happened. You know, your pastor was in jail last night. So Kathy and I, we're going to step outside, and I want y'all to, you know, decide. I'll gladly step down because of what happened, reproach upon the church. I'll gladly step down and let you bring someone else in. And there will be no hard feelings. So we stepped outside, and about 2 minutes, Charles came and got us, and the church said, we would have been disappointed in you if you would not have tried to stop her. If you would not have tried to prevent her from doing this, we would have been so disappointed. But you did what every dad in this church would have done. You did your best. And so they said, we could... There's no way that we don't want you as our pastor. So thank God I'm still there. Well, time rocks along and Shay's still in the streets. And this is 24. I guess it was in 22. She called me. She had got married to a guy that was in the same boat as her, which is this little child's father. And he had been incarcerated, and she was on the street in Fort Smith alone by herself and pregnant. And she called me and said, Dad, I need you to come get me. And I said, no, I'm not coming to get you anymore. Remember what you told me. You're a grown woman. You don't need me. So you just do it. And she started crying and said, Dad, I'm pregnant. I have nowhere to go. And I was sitting at the county barn, and she was down on old Garrison by the old U-Haul place. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. I'll come and get you, but you're not coming to our house. You're going to a rehab. She said, okay, I'll go. So thankfully, I called the woman that runs the drug court in Sequoia County, Miss Tina Edwards, and she set up a place in Tulsa immediately. And that following Wednesday, I believe, I picked her up on a Friday, and that Wednesday, we had her in the Tulsa Women and Children's Center, where they take young women who is addicted, pregnant, and allow them to have the child while they're there, use the hospitals that are there. And so she had this sweet little child. While she was in rehab, and she was able to learn about drug addiction and what it would do to your child during gestation. And so, thankfully, Livy was not born on meth. She was born with a clean system, although she had received some in the beginning. But Shay came back home after she completed the rehab in Tulsa for 4 months with a brand new baby. And we were all excited, and the baby's coming home, and we've been there to visit and go to doctor appointments with her, and we loved our grandchild so much, as well as our daughter. Grandchildren seem to trump children. I don't know what the deal is with that, but they do. Amen. But anyway, things got hard again. Because coming out of rehab, you're in a very structured environment, and back home, that transition is very, very hard. And there was two or three times we had the sheriff's department down there helping us, and, you know, we were... Kathy and I were just about to lose our everlasting mind. We did not know how to deal with her. We did not know how to cope, and because of all of that, Kathy and I were fighting amongst ourselves. I had one mindset, she had another mindset, and we were so frustrated, we didn't know what to do. And we found out about this program in Salisaw for parents of addicted loved ones. Parents who had adult children who were addicted, and that it could help us. So we gladly went. And Brother Wayne Atkinson and his wife Eva, he was a minister of the Church of Christ in Salisaw. They facilitated the meeting, but they had come from Arizona, and that's where this program began through a guy by the name of Michael Speakman in Arizona, created the program because he had been through this, and now the program is nationwide, but Oklahoma only has one place that has this program, and it's in Salisaw. And so what it does is it takes you through 9 lessons. We don't teach it, we facilitate. We have lessons that we go through, and the lessons teach us, and then we talk about it amongst ourselves. And, you know, we encourage each other that's in the group that Kathy and I were in while we were learning, and we learned to set boundaries. We learned how to put boundaries around us as a married couple and to take our life back again. And we also learned that even though we didn't think we enabled, we were. We were enabling. When she would be incarcerated and in jail, we would never bail her out. We wouldn't go and rescue her. We made her suffer the consequences, so we thought we did not enable, but in fact, we were enabling in ways that we had no idea until it exposed that to us in through the classes. And so when we started changing our behavior and the way we started doing things at home, peace, that we started having some peace at home, and not only was it helpful to us, we saw a change in her. And while it was a hard, long process to go through, while she stayed with us for a year and a half, she is now living on her own. But I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. This is some of the most painful, hard things that we have been through as a married couple. And I know you can look around and there's always people who have worse circumstances than you do. I got a phone call one morning as I was driving up to Salisaw's, around the Ford place where all the cars are on 59 Highway, as we live down by Applegate. I got a phone call one morning from a girl and said, "Are you Shay's dad?" And I said, "Yes." And she started crying. She said, "I don't know how to tell you this." And I lost my breath. And I pulled over on the shoulder of that wide shoulder and stopped the vehicle. And I said, "Whatever it is you need to tell me, you need to tell me." And she said, your daughter's body was found in the Fort Coffee Bottoms. She's dead. And I couldn't talk. And I just said, "Thank you for calling me." And I immediately called LaFleur County Sheriff's Department. And thank God they said, there's been no report of a body in Fort Coffee. And if there was a body found in Fort Coffee, we would know. And you have to understand, among that world of people, they strive on drama. But just that news hitting me, I can't explain it. Even though, thank God, it was false, it still hit me like a ton of bricks of just the reality of how easy that can happen. And then to find that one time she was in Shawnee, Oklahoma, kept by the Irish mob. I'm so glad she's been delivered from the world of drugs and addiction, and I pray that she always will be, but I know this little baby right here was her saving grace. She loves that baby so much, and she lives for her. And my prayer is in the future, not only will she live for her, but for first and foremost, she lives for God. So continue to pray for her. I'm so thankful that because of the Parents of Addicted Loved Ones meeting, Kathy and I learned how to cope again. We learned how to be a husband and wife again. We've been married 32 years. But we were losing our way, because having an adult child living with you that's in addiction is one of the hardest things that you're going to deal with. Some of you know. So why am I here today? Because there's a stigma. People don't want to say, "I have a problem." We have a problem in our home. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been pastoring since 1993, and I had a problem in my home, a bad one. And it's a wise man that will receive counsel from another man. So my wife and I decided to receive that counsel that we so desperately needed. And we learned how to be husband and wife again. We learned how to laugh again. We learned how to love again. And we set boundaries in our home, and we quit enabling. Helping someone who is helping themselves is one thing. Enabling is another. And so I praise God for this program. The thing that makes me sad is we have this program, but no one is using it. And so we have pamphlets just set outside in your foyer area. And I'd ask you to take one with you. And maybe you're not directly affected by addiction, but I bet you have a friend that is. I bet you know someone in your family or a friend that you work with that has an adult child that is in addiction and they don't know how to do with it. And it doesn't have to be a parent of an adult child. It may be a spouse that you're dealing with. You may be, and one of the things is that if you're going to attend, they want you to be 18 years old or older. So if you're a young person, 18, 19 years old, and you have a parent that's in addiction, we want you to come. Because this program is faith-based. It starts with prayer. I read the doctrinal statement of the program before I signed off on it as a facilitator to make sure I agreed with it. And there was absolutely nothing in their doctrinal statement, in their statement of faith, that I could disagree with. It was right down the line. And so I signed off on it as a facilitator, and Kathy signed off on it as we agreed to that statement of faith. We start out with prayer. We lean on the Lord. And we end with prayer. But I want to tell you something, friends. This program will help families. And we need you all to help us get the word out there so that people can benefit from it. We don't want to throw the towel in and quit. We would like to see someone, one person, one couple come, and it'll be worth it. So please help us with that. We have some great books that helps you as you go through these programs. One's called Smoke and Mirrors, The Four Seasons of Recovery for Parents of Alcoholics and Addicts, and The Language of Letting Go. Sometimes you just have to let go. And so you can go on the PAL website. It's just an acronym, PAL, Parents of Addicted Loved Ones. You can go on that website. You can even go through those lessons on their website, but it's a lot better if you do it in a group. But if you just say, I just couldn't do that in a group, at least go on the website and go through the lessons, and you can also order the books on their website. But, you know, as I went through all of this, we went through this great time of trial and tribulation in our life. In the meantime, I was still trying to hold down secular jobs, trying to keep my sanity about me, trying to still be a husband and a father, and still trying to pastor a church. And sometimes I just felt like quitting everything. I'm just being very honest. There were times that I felt like I don't want to be a father anymore. I don't want to be a husband anymore. And I don't want to be a pastor anymore. I just want to get in my truck, drive away from all of you, and never look at you again. Well, Brother Dan, I can't believe you would think that. Don't tell me you had never thought it. Don't tell me something like along those lines has never went through your mind, because it has. But the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing. I don't know how families that do not have God in the center can ever survive these kind of things. The Apostle Paul admonishes the Philippian assembly, the brothers and sisters in Christ in the church of Philippi. He said, be careful for nothing. What does it mean to be careful for nothing? The Greek word, merimnao, means to be anxious, to be troubled with cares. Don't worry. I guess that's a very difficult thing for me, is not worry. There's no telling how many nights I would wake up with my stomach churning and get up and walk around and, you know, maybe snack on something just a little bit, but I would wake up and go sit out on the porch overlooking the mountains in the Boston Mountain Range where I lived in Arkansas and looking down on the lake and under the moonlight, and I would just sit there with tears running down my face. Where's my baby? I have no idea where she's at. I just know she's in the streets. I don't know if she's alive. I don't know. I hadn't heard from her. I don't know where she's at. God, where is she? And I would pray, God, let her suffer as much as she needs to suffer, but please, please preserve her life. Please put a hedge of protection around her so that she doesn't die. I don't want to bury her. I don't want to bury her yet, God. Please protect her. But I would wake up with my stomach in pits, and Kathy would as well. Where is she? The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Don't suffer anxiety. He didn't say for some things. He said nothing. Be careful for absolutely nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I want to tell you something, friends. It was praying often, often on my face, often on my knees, with tears running down my face, and thanking God that He loved her even more than I did. Thanking Him for His love and His grace and His mercy, and praying and letting my request be made known unto God that got me through this and got Kathy through it. And now we have this precious little granddaughter. She walks through the door with her little pink backpack on. She goes, "Hi, Papa, what you doing?" And this morning she had her little fly swat killing the flies in the house. Got him. And she brings so much joy to my life. Conceived in the world of drugs. Her mom and daddy couldn't even remember their wedding date because they were high. Conceived in the world of drugs. But she is so precious in the sight of God. She is so precious. And she was created in the image of God. Where the world would have said, just get rid of her. God says, no, she is special. So I pray even now for her salvation. Got her in church with us as much as possible because her mama has to work at the Charlie's Chicken every Sunday. So we have her in church with us. Yesterday, while Shay was working at Charlie's and I was watching Olivia, I put on a little show for her off YouTube on TV, but had little praise songs for children. And she climbs up on the little brick hearth and gets in front of the TV and she'll watch it, and she gets to moving her little hips while the songs are playing, and had these little cartoon characters, and it's going, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And she was going, praise ye the Lord. And she was singing with them, praise ye the Lord. I said, wow, God, you're so good. How many times do we worry? How many times do we fret? How many times do we suffer anxiety, but yet we don't get on our knees and pray? We are instructed to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, accompanied with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God is something the world cannot fathom. The world cannot grab hold of. The world doesn't know what the peace of God is, but there are those times when the peace of God would flood my heart and flood my wife's heart, and I was able to lay down at night and sleep because of God. Because of the peace of God that passes all understanding, something that I cannot even wrap my mind around. I just know that I've experienced it over and over and over. The peace that only God can give. The world can't give it. You're never going to find it in this world. Only God can give you this peace. And it comes through Christ Jesus. Praise God for His grace given to us through Christ Jesus. We are instructed to live by the grace which is in Christ Jesus. To live by that favor, to live by that kindness that is in Christ Jesus. How many of us truly live by grace that is in Christ Jesus? How many of us really pray to God instead of worrying over everything? How many of us truly make our prayers and supplications known to God along with thanking God for who He is? And then truly experience the peace of God. And so Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. What do you think on? As you go through the day, what is it that you think on? What is it that your mind is constantly rolling around in? I have a confession. Donald Trump's not going to save the United States of America. So just get that out of your head. You can see right out here on the interstate, Trump save America. He can't. There is no man that can. What America has to do is get back on her knees and start praying to God. We need to repent. You know, one of the things that I hate the most is to see these people getting up and making their speech and going, God bless America. How can God bless America? What are we thinking on? What do we think? What is it that our mind is in? Are we thinking on the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are of good report? And if there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things. We need to be thinking God. And yes, be good citizens and cast our votes and do what we are expected to do. Fight for that which is right. Fight for that which is good. But quit putting our trust in men and put our trust in God. I really believe with all of my heart and soul that America is reaping the consequences of God turning us over to a reprobate mind. We are glorifying the homosexual lifestyles. We're glorifying marriage out of wedlock. We glorify everything that is against God. And the drugs are just pouring into our communities by the hundreds and thousands coming through the southern border, being made in our, it's just pouring into us, and we are reaping the consequences of a godless nation. That's why our children are falling to the wayside. Our children are falling to the wayside. Our children are being consumed by the world of drugs. Our children are being consumed by all of these things because we have given over to the ways of the world and we have told God, get out of our homes. We don't want you in our home. God, we don't want you in our schools. God, we don't want you in our community. And sad to say that so many times, so many ways, we've said, God, we don't even want you in our churches. So much like Laodicea. I pray to God that we think on the things that are lovely, the things that are pure, things that are praiseworthy, things that are just. And let's be encouraged to not worry, but let our request be made known unto God with prayer and thanksgiving. And allow the peace of God to flood our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. God, I'll be the first to confess that I worry too much. God, help me not to worry, as well as I would just imagine everyone here would say, yes, me as well, Lord. Help us not to worry, but to spend more time on our knees, to spend more time on our face, crying out to you with prayer and supplication, to let our request be made known to you, and to thank you for who you are, that because of the grace that you've bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ, your mercy and your love. So God, we ask you to help us today, but we want to also just pour our thanksgivings out to you. And Father, we just pray for your peace to flood our hearts, our homes, our churches, and our communities. Forgive us for sticking our head in the sand and not fighting for that which is right, and allowing the evil to just be swallowed up by the evil in this nation. God, help us to stand up as your people and say, no, the rainbow belongs to God. And to say, no, all life is precious in the sight of God. None deserves to die in the womb. Help us to stand up and be the kind of people you would have us to be. Resist where we should, comply where we should. And God, may your peace fill our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.